Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and thanks for joining me very much. I appreciate it. Mike Mutzel is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Mike is a great friend of ours, an outstanding member of our Brain Trust. He is one of our generational experts in the Brain Trust. He's the guy who helps us understand what's going on out there across the country and really across the world in terms of the generations working together. He's the author of They're Not Aloof, Just Generation X, and he's our good friend. Mike, welcome back to the show.
Hey, good morning. Thank you so much, Jim.
It's good to have you back. You've been following a little bit of research recently. I know you do this quite often, but you got one particular set of data that you want to talk to us about.
Yeah, I do. You know, been really, as you know, wrapped up in this Generation X and how to increase the productivity of a workforce that seems to change jobs every 3 years nationally. And reluctantly, I think, a lot of the corporate management teams are deciding that they absolutely need to change.
Hmm.
But, as
imagine
you know,
that.
Yeah, there was a propensity, I think, in the 90s to take very analytical minds and put them at the head of companies. And on the corporate side, the larger side, you know, you have a lot of analytical thinkers. So when you started talking about potentially changing a culture to be more conducive to the new generation of workers, and as
the
you
free,
said,
the free flowing,
dynamic differences.
The free-flowing environment, that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
The analytical engineer types didn't blend too well with that idea, did they?
Well, they kind of asked my old MBA question, you know, and that is, if I do it, if I invest in this, even time-wise, you know, what kind of return do I get?
Right.
And I think everybody pretty much agreed, you know, if the workplace culture is more conducive and more welcoming, people are probably going to be more productive. But when you started asking how much more productive, nobody can answer that question. And you know, frankly, the old schoolers like you and me, and I got more gray hair than you, you know that.
I don't know.
You know, in the old days, if you wanted to improve the bottom line, you know, old schoolers, you had two options. Number one, you could slash expenses, or number two, you could increase revenue.
Right.
And I think the budgets have been pretty much cut to the bone, you know, that they have cut in your budget 10 or 15.
I think that ship sailed about 20 years ago.
You know, you can massage it a little bit. And I think there's so many parameters that affect how much you can increase the revenue side. You know, for the first time in 70 years, companies are now looking at a third option, and that is, how do I dramatically increase productivity with what I have?
Mm-hmm.
And that's really where the research by Gallup and companies like ISR is kind of mind-boggling to me. You know, earlier you and I were just briefly discussing, you know, these Gallup surveys. Number one, the most alarming thing is, you know, they've interviewed some 3 million employees measuring their engagement. That sounds like kind of a nebulous word, you know, but how do they really feel about where they work?
Mm-hmm.
And I was just amazed that only 3 out of 10 felt as though they were engaged to work. 55% were disengaged, and 16% were like what they called actively disengaged.
Hmm.
And the interesting question here is, you know, what makes somebody disengaged? And when they went back and interviewed the supervisors and the managers of the folks that came out as disengaged, you know, the supervisor said, hey, wait a second, man, Jim's a great employee. He does everything I ask him to do.
Mm-hmm.
But from the employee's perspective, they could do so much more
if they had not been used to the advantage, or at least maybe they were working as hard as they could, but they weren't doing the things that they thought they were worthy of doing.
Well, and taking it above and beyond to the next level, you know, utilizing what they could bring to the table instead of satisfying absolutely the minimum requirements of the job description.
So as the Straubach said on Cool Hand Luke, what we have here is a failure to communicate.
Oh, man.
And is that right?
And then at that point, the analytical guy at the top, or the analytical female CEO, says, hey, if we start to modify orientation and get our employees more engaged and more active in the business, you know, if I do all that, what do I get? And that's where, you know, really in the last...
He wants a number. He or she wants a number, don't they?
Well, sure. And that's the way they were raised to think, just like your long in the tooth comment, the way you and I were raised to think, right? If I'm going to change, what do I get? And the numbers coming back from these companies are mind-boggling. Just as an example, you know, ISR, they're kind of like Gallup. They do a lot of surveys, but they are a little more global company than Gallup is. They took Gallup's research, and on 660,000 employees, and I'm not saying that's the end-all, be-all sample, but it's a pretty good sample size.
That's a pretty good size sample.
Companies with engaged employees were 5.75% higher on operating margin and 3.4% higher on net margin.
Now, but how do they base engagement? How is that measured?
Therein lies a wonderful question. You know, Gallup kind of led the way with this, and their survey is extremely simple. It's only got 12 questions, and they're very basic questions. Now Boston and McKinsey and all these other folks are doing engagement surveys too, and it seems to me, this is just my opinion, Jim, that they're kind of basing the value of what they charge the small or the medium-sized business owner for the engagement survey on how many questions they ask. You know, some of these are 185. Most of them are web-based, but I don't think you can argue with Gallup. You know, you don't have to be very complicated, and the questions are basic. You know, do you feel like you have the materials and equipment to do your job right? Is there someone at work who encourages your development? And somebody talked about your growth in the last quarter, you know, where you are in the company. We've talked about this before. We have a tendency to fall back on annual reviews, where I think quarterly reviews will be the norm in the future.
So what you're saying is, if I understand what you're saying, the way you're interpreting the research with in terms of engagement, if managers would spend more time maybe being a little more analytical about the engagement of their employees and maybe not quite so analytical of the numbers, you know, the production numbers of the company, that they might get more production. Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah, and I think the research is pretty clear. I mean, 7 years ago or so when I was, you know, running Yamaha for domestic and international, my last real corporate job, you know, if we could bump our margin 0.5%, and you have this in your business, Jim, if you could bump your margin, your net margin 0.5% or 1% or 1.5%, I mean, that was a gargantuan return and enabled you to do so many other cool things. You know, here they're talking 3.5% bottom line.
But it's so much less complicated to work with this electronic spreadsheet than it is to work with human beings. It's so much easier, and that's the problem, isn't it?
Well, and that's the reason I'm so taken, you know, by the, use your word, easy, general nature of the Gallup questions. You know, I mean, is there someone at work who encourages your development? At work, do your opinions seem to count?
Do your opinions seem to count? That's a good one. Hold on to that, Mike. Mike Mitzel, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. He is the author of They're Not Aloof, Just Generation X, and he's trying to help us find some of this low-hanging fruit to get more productivity out of our employees. 20 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back. The Reverend Al Green, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Use it to your advantage. No barrier to entry. Check it out, and it's all there for you, and you can find lots of stuff that Mike Mitchell has deposited with us over the years as a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's the author of They're Not Aloof, Not Generation X. Looking forward to that next book, Mike.
Yeah, we were talking off air. I'm committed to having it done by December, and hopefully we'll have it up on your website by March or April.
I expect to launch it on the show.
As you well know, writing it is the easy part. Getting
That's
it through the editors and having the title selected and all that is
right.
The one that...
That's the hard part.
That title with bananas is already taken, so I don't know what we're going to do. We'll have to come up with something on employee engagement.
Yeah, you have to come up with some other kind of fruit, like kumquats or guacamole or something. Hey, Mike, we're talking to Mike about the survey the surveys that have been conducted to point out that if employees are more engaged, if employees feel that they're valued more, if employees feel that their opinions count, that they mean something, that they're actually, you know, considered in the overall plans of the company, that they turn up the production a notch or two, And you know, I can just see those the CEOs and the CFOs and all the bean counters in these corporations just poring over the numbers and saying, okay, if we cut here, if we nip here, if we cut this out, if we don't hire this person, a person to replace that one who just quit or whatever, you know, here's how we can manipulate these numbers and we can meet our quarterly numbers, you know, and all that kind of stuff. When maybe what they should have done was to say, you know, why don't we get closer to our people? Why don't we find out what they want and figure out how to get it for them and see what happens?
Well, and to your point, Jim, I think more and more of the workforce, as you've documented many, many times, is moving back into organizations of 50 employees or less.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just the way things are going. And I think your listeners predominantly have a huge advantage here because traditionally your listeners are better listeners to employees than you find on the corporate side.
Well, we live with them.
You know, but I might suggest that just like 10 years ago, I can't speak for you, I should have asked you, but just like 10 or 15 years ago, guys like me were a little jaundice of testing during the interview process and so on and so forth, and now, of course, I'm an advocate. I think employee engagement testing 5 years down the road will be a normal course of...
What would you be asking them?
I'd be asking them if they feel like they're listened to at work, if they have the opportunity to do what they do best.
Now you're talking about about employees that work for you now that already work for you or are prospective employees?
No, I think employees that work for you.
And so go in there and give them and ask them these kinds of questions.
Yeah, and actually, anybody that wants the list of the Gallup questions, obviously there's a copyright on here and so on and so forth. But if you want a starting point. You know, anybody that wants to shoot me an email or go to my website, I'll be happy to email you the Gallup questions. That'd be easy for me to
give us the website, please.
www.unlockthemysteries.com.
Unlockthemysteries.com. And the book, by the way, They're Not Aloof, Just Generation X, that's still available wherever books are sold, right?
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I spoke to a SHRM. I know you've done that, Society of Human Resource Managers. And a guy came up to me afterwards, and he goes, I was in a meeting 2 days ago, and somebody gave me your book. I was a little astounded.
Congratulations.
Yeah, he won it as a door prize. I don't know if that was first prize or last prize, Jim, actually.
I like the ones where the guy comes up and says, I've read your book. I said, you're the one. okay, so we have our employees. You know, I think that some people don't ask employees these kinds of questions. Are you happy? Do you feel like your opinions matter? Do you feel respected at work? I think they don't ask those questions because they're afraid of the answer.
Well, I'll give you one that is used every day, and that is, you know, more and more companies are using the word tools, you know. If you want to start with one question for your listeners, sit down with the employee in a non-threatening way. That means get out from behind your desk and sit across from them, actually, and suggest, hey, I'm just curious. Do you feel like you have the tools you need to do your job well? And you'll be amazed at the simple things that they may have identified that could make them more efficient and more productive. And, of course, the inherent assumption is if I ask you, Jim, do you feel like you have the tools you need to do your job well here? And you say, well, I really could use this or this, and it's not a major capital expenditure, and you provide that tool, then the inherent assumption is if you need this to do your job well, I'm assuming now, dot, dot, dot.
Well,
that you go ahead and do your job well by your criteria.
Well, you know, one thing I was thinking, Mike, is if you walked up to a business owner and said, would you pay $1,000 per employee to get more productivity to help them get more productivity out of their computers this year? In other words, they could learn more about how to operate their computer and get more productivity. Would you pay $500 a year for that? You'd probably say yes. And I believe would be to say, what if you could do that without spending any money just by asking your employees these questions? You've got more that you can get out of them that you're not getting out of them.
Well, and the mere fact that you're asking the questions increases the engagement alone.
Mm-hmm. Just the activity of doing it.
Well, and Collins used the word in his book, Good to Great. You know, sometimes when managers sit down to talk, they're trying to do the right thing. They're trying to be positive, but the employee perception is happy talk. You know, this is meaningful stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to do something with the information that you get. That's for sure. You can't be afraid of the answers. That's another challenge. Hey, Mike, thanks for being here. Good job today. We'll see you next time.
Hey, you're the best, Jim, and you and all your listeners. Have a great holiday season, please.
Mike Mutzel, ladies and gentlemen. They're not aloof, just Generation X. Quick break, right back with Beverly in Manibo. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.